And it is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And by the way, you can find us on SoundCloud, Taylor Report on SoundCloud. And we are on Facebook / The Taylor Report. Our guest, we hope to be in touch with here again. He does have a very important story to tell, and that is how refugees, since 1994, people have been in a refugee condition. They walked across half of Africa and ended up in Congo, Brazzaville. There are thousands, by the way, of Rwandan refugees. They're recognized as refugees. Most people don't know, I think, that the United Nations and countries enter into agreements to alter the status of refugees. So, you know, we understand when there's a war and an immense loss of life, there will be refugees. And generally, of course, we are all sympathetic to folks who are in those conditions. Christian, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. We'll try again.
Well.
You sound great. So far, so good, Christian.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was just explaining to our listeners I don't think most people are aware that the status of a refugee can be altered, and in this case, it's a cessation decision taken in at a meeting in Europe.
And
how does that impact those refugees in Congo Brazzaville specifically? And tell us about that clause. What is the decision?
So actually, basically, the UN HCR can invoke the cessation of the clause if all the elements are met, which means that for the refugee there is no longer reason to stay abroad, or if even the refugee themselves don't want to go back to their own country. So this is a rule applicable to all the refugees. But in the case of the Rwandese refugees living in Congo, we don't know how the UNHCR took a decision to implement this cessation of the clause. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how they did the assessment to come to a conclusion that everything is fine. We don't know, or we don't understand why they applied the cessation to refugees between 59 and 98, mm-hmm. which means that there are refugees that fled the country in 99, 2000, 2005, and 6 and 7. Why are these refugees not included?
Yes.
So that's why
it's the same country. Some
exactly.
are refugees up until left before 98. They're told
exactly.
you can go back. Those who left after 98 are told, no, you better not go back. I mean, somebody's calibrating the degree
exactly.
of risk.
So we are speaking on behalf of a little organization I'm a member of, and also the platform of based in Belgium called named SOS Refugee. We are really disappointed in UNHCR and Filippo Grandi, Carlo Bachelor, who should be protecting the refugees, even the representative of UNHCR in both Congos, DRC and Congo-Brazzaville, Mr. Andreas Kirchhoff, because we don't understand how they took this decision without even consulting the refugees, mm-hmm. the refugees in Brazzaville and in both Congos. So coming back to Congo, the people didn't arrive. The refugees didn't arrive in Congo just by, by mistake or they were lost. There was a war in Rwanda in 94. There was a war in DRC in 96, and even further, all these atrocities are documented in a mapping report that was published in 2010.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So the reason why people left or work all the way until Congo Brazzaville. It's not for economic reason. They are not looking for food or they are looking for protection. They won't be protected. Now, the UN tell them you can go back to your country. Everything seems well.
Yes, and there's a timetable, right? It is for the end of this month. We're talking about something. The cessation becomes statutory or whatever at the end of this month, at the end of 2017. So we only have about 3 weeks.
We have 3 weeks left, and we don't know. We are really concerned about what's going to happen the 1st of Jan 2018 because the refugees in question are not following. They don't want to go. They are not volunteering to go back to Rwanda, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, the integration, local integration is, as we see it, at least now, it's not possible because you cannot move from a refugee status to a local integrated. The conditions are not met. The Congolese government asks for a passport, which means that the refugee should go to the Rwandese embassy in Brazzaville, which also doesn't make sense. How do you become a refugee from becoming a refugee, go to the embassy to stay outside of your country, which makes really no sense. So we are really, again, we are disappointed in UN, RCL in their approach because they didn't foresee all these complications. Mm-hmm. So all we can say, we hope that they realize the huge case that's piling up and the impact that it will have if nobody acts. So we kindly ask the Congolese government not to leave these refugees in an illegal situation.
Yes, you've been asking that they postpone or delay this decision.
Exactly.
And you make that appeal to both to the UN and the government of Brazzaville?
Exactly. We think that that's the only option we see at the moment, is that both parties, the UNHCR and Congolese, agree that all the elements are not in place. So opt for postponing of the deadline. So the refugees at least can stay in a legal situation and take time to review again how to apply local integration, or those who want to go back to Rwanda can go back. Nobody's, nobody's limiting them. But those who don't want to go.
Yeah, I think I read in one of your documents, isn't it? I think 8 people or 11 have said they would like to go back.
Exactly. 11 people out of 10,000 want to go back. So what happens with the remaining ones? This is our concern.
You mentioned the passport. Yeah. They obviously, that is a rather, I mean, one understands that if you're a refugee from a country, it's not the simplest thing to go, and it's not even wise for you to go and ask for your passport from the country from which you...
Exactly.
And then the second thing, there is an identity issue, right? If they will, and I want to raise the subject of being integrated to Congo Brazzaville, there is a kind of bureaucratic problem of identification.
Yeah, this is what the local law foresee. The local registration asks for anyone who wants to integrate locally to present a passport and an extract of criminal record from the country of their birth or the country of their origin, which doesn't make any sense for someone who's been running all his life, fleeing all this atrocity, to ask him for a passport, meaning going back to the Rwandese embassy, or even an extract of a criminal record in a country he left for more than 20 years. So this is what we are highlighting, that all the elements are not met for the UNHCR to say, okay, those who want to go can go back, those who want to stay can stay. And we are really concerned, we as a small organization who has been helping the refugees, mostly the children being in the refugee camp in Kintele. This refugee camp is based also in Congo Brazzaville, so a bit in the north. And we don't know how to help them unless we make it public that what they are going through is a really unjust by the UNHCR, again, not from another organization
Well, it certainly raises, it is one issue involving one ethnic group or one national group, but there's international, there's implications for all refugees who enjoy a status or recognition that, yes, they are refugees and there are certain, they have certain human rights under that status. If it's going to become a jumbled picture, it creates potential problem for everyone. I think most listeners would be concerned to find out that a meeting could take place in Europe and then a decision made to have cessation for these people, for 10,000 people, after all these years. And then with the peculiar additions of the fact that if they were refugees after 1998, they still maintain the status. Yeah, and we're talking about the same country. One country has refugees, some before 98, some after, and the ones after 98 are told, you don't have to worry. But as you say, there is no explanation of what's the distinction.
No, we don't. We clearly don't understand why UNHCR is supporting this cessation clause. We can understand that Rwanda wants to see all the refugees coming back to Kigali. I mean, we understand well what they're trying to do, but that UNHCR is following them in this cessation clause, we don't understand, because some refugees will no longer have any legal protection, and the other ones that fled after 98 might still have it. We are talking about the same country. And,
yes.
This is not a transparent
process, right? I can't go somewhere and read their explanation of this decision.
The decision is quite transparent. What they want to do is transparent.
The rationale. lawyers would say, I need to see the legal reasoning. I need to see what evidence caused them to do this.
I mean,
decision is rather easy to make. In military, make decisions. But we need to know why.
The why is not clear. Why, that's why we also ask the question to the government to please not leave the refugees in a security without any legal support.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really don't know what's going to happen. And starting on the 1st of January, it's in less than 3 weeks. So,
no, it's very worrying. We're speaking to Christian Muheri, and from the organization of the website is sisteme.be. That's sisteme.be, Belgium. And it is in French, but I know that our listeners are all very sophisticated and have no problem. So we expect them to go to that site. Christian, there are countries in Africa that have been working on this issue, particularly the integration side, offering to the refugees a chance to become part of those societies. I think I've heard that Zambia might be one. Can you talk about that?
The little I know about the Zambia case is that the government, the UNHCR, works jointly to find a solution. What's not happening in Congo, so it's another approach. We don't understand why there is a difference in Zambia and in Congo compared to both. We also learned today on the news that Congo, the big Congo, DRC will postpone the cessation. So, again, there's another...
There is an agreement to postpone
in DRC. No, in DRC. DRC decided...
Our listeners should know there are two Congos. We call it Congo-Brazzaville, but also the Congo, Democratic Republic, I guess.
They decided to postpone. In Zambia, they found a solution. To integrate the refugees within the country. So this positive, I would say. But for Congo-Brazzaville, we still don't know what's going to happen. That's why, again, we have same refugees, same UNHCR, but different approaches and not at all transparent, like you just mentioned. So we are really concerned,
Now, we have, by the way, Canada is a country with many refugees. We've taken in here, particularly in the past year or so, we had a dramatic situation with the refugees from Syria. So, and it was said, this is, and as you know, you live in Belgium, in Europe right now, there's a great deal of debate about all this. But the general agreement is that genuine refugees, such as those we're speaking of, need to have their rights protected as refugees.
Exactly. Again, that's why we are, I cannot say it enough, we are really disappointed in UNHCR. Their role is to protect the refugees and help them integrate locally if that must be done. But in this case, in Congo-Brazzaville, both elements are not met. So we don't know why they gave up, first of all.
And is your dialogue going with the government of Congo-Brazzaville? Are they receiving petitions or letters or comments both from the people there but also abroad?
But based on what we know, because I'm not based in Congo-Brazzaville, but based on the information we get is that the refugees locally have written to the government asking for the cessation to be postponed. They have written to the UNHCR, which already replied, asking them to actually follow through the whole procedure. That is not clear at all. But from the government, we expect a lot because the UNHCR has made their decision, but they can still, together with the government, the Congolese government, decide to review the whole process because it makes no sense of telling people you must go or you can stay, but not put all the elements in place, at least for those who want to stay protected.
Yes. Christian Muhiri, I'm really glad we've been talking to you, and I will tell our listeners again, it's systeme.be. Also, I have a material that I've received in English. We will post that on our site so
thank
that
you.
People
thank
can
you,
read
Phil.
The summary of this issue. And I'm sure you would encourage people to write to both the government of Congo-Brazzaville, but also to the United Nations Commissioner on Refugees to get a postponement.
We're asking everybody concerned about this subject to act, to ask for clarification. And also, just to clarify that I'm in the organization named System with our website, system.be, and it's part of a larger platform, different associations called SOS Platform, SOS Refugiés. So we are all trying to get the message across that in Congo-Brazzaville, people are not ready for what's happening, what's coming up at the end of this month.
Yes.
So if you can help us get the message across, that will be great.
We want to do that, and we want to also, we're going to have to be back in touch with you before the end of this month because we're not going to let this matter pass into the dangerous the zone there. Christian Muhiri, thank you very, very much for joining us. We look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Very good. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM.